The Golf Unfiltered podcast is brought to you by our friends over at Cog Hill Golf and Country Club, who we are happy and proud to partner with once again this year. Cog Hill features 72 holes of championship golf, including the world-famous Dubs Dread. They have a completely renovated practice area and driving range. It's essentially an academy that you can go and spend not only the day improving your game, but at night they've got lights now and two bars as well as a food truck to spend some quality time with some friends and family. They've been doing it this way since 1927, folks. Go out to coghillgolf.com to learn more. We're also brought to you by our friends over at Sharp Focus Nutrition. Let's face it, when you go out and play golf, you probably don't eat and drink very well. Well, a couple hot dogs, a few beers, yeah, we get it. Sharp Focus Nutrition replaces all of that with a systematic way to not only stay replenished throughout your round, but to also improve your game in doing so. Go out to sharpfocusnutrition.com to learn about their system. Let them know that we sent you. Pick up a system right now. sharpfocusnutrition.com. Welcome to the Golf Unfiltered podcast, your source for all things golf, including in-depth interviews, new equipment highlights, and answers to golf questions you might be too afraid to ask. My goal? To help you learn more about the game so you can enjoy it even more. Let's dive in. All right, everyone, welcome back to the Golf Unfiltered podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam from golfunfiltered.com. And joining me again is my co-host, Nikki Dunnigan. Nikki, it's always good to see you.
Hey, hey, how's it going?
Good, very good. And we've got a very special guest today. You may notice Chad Mumm. He is the producer and executive producer from the highly anticipated Netflix series Full Swing coming out very soon. Chad, you are on location. Where are you right now?
This is beautiful Torrey Pines behind me. So I'm standing just behind or next to the 18th fairway doing a podcast on top of a sprinkler, one of those Toro sprinkler system, you know, control things. So I feel like that's fitting for this show and kind of a good microcosm of my last year. So
excellent. Excellent. Well, thank you so much for coming on. We've got a ton of questions. We're going to just really grill you right now, Chad, but actually
I love
no,
it.
we're super excited for this. Like I said, highly anticipated series. And I could tell you, and Nikki could tell you how excited we are to see this. How excited are you for the world to finally see your work?
It's almost an indescribable feeling of anticipation and excitement, a little bit of nerves too. You know, you pour your heart into something like this over so much time. You know, we had such a big team working on this show over the last year. And then I, you know, personally have been kind of working away at this project for almost half a decade now, just piecing it together and putting the deals together to get it done. And so it's surreal that it's finally ready to be shared. And also kind of surreal that I'm like back on site at a PGA Tour event, you know, doing this podcast today. But I'm so excited. I'm so proud of what we made. I'm so grateful for all the everybody who was involved from like the PGA Tour and all the majors and then the players and their agents and their families and their caddies. And just we were shocked at how much they opened the doors to us. And I hope that everybody loves watching it as much as, you know, we love making it, because it's been a real labor of love.
You know, so Nikki and I were talking a little bit prior to this, the work that you've done already on shows like Breakpoint and others. And Nikki, you had even talked a little bit about, you know, some of the things that you're wondering we'll see in Full Swing. What were some of the things, Nikki, that we were just discussing?
Yeah, I mean, for one, you know, I just finished watching all of Breakpoint and I thought it was comical how Sebastian Korda just had this like major breakthrough moment in the Australian Open. And I think he plays the quarterfinal today as we're recording this today. And, you know, then you've got the Korda sisters who are, you know, golf phenomenons. And, you know, I know this series is going to focus more on the men, but, you know, is that something we're going to see in the future? Is that, you know, do we see a little bit of them in this series? You know, like, is that something in the future we're going to see some crossover of, you know,
that's a great question. Like that. Yeah, it's an awesome question. Well, I love working with the team at Box to Box. Paul Martin and James Scarice have been our partners on this golf show for the last year and a half. And it's been amazing to learn from them. You know, they do Drive to Survive and Breakpoint and Make or Break on Apple TV Plus, the surf show. And just like being able to get in their world and understand how they craft stories in sports and how it feels and looks different. I think they brought so much to the show And it's been so fun to get to just work like hand in glove with some of the best creative people in the entire world. They made my favorite movie of all time, which is Senna. I think it's probably my favorite movie, regardless of, being a doc or not. It's brilliant. And it's been a dream to work with those guys. I think it's a great question about, we would love to just tell the story of pro golf. Right now, this last season, we focused on, the men's game. I think that the storylines in women's golf is just as rich and compelling and interesting. We got to get through this season first and get this show out there in the world. But, we'd love to explore that. I think that, at the end of the day, like, we're just telling stories about people and characters and the stakes they have in their profession and their personal lives. And I think, like, it would be really special and cool to be able to expand the scope of that.
Yeah. Now, you've done obviously so many projects and a lot of sports documentaries, level playing field, believe. But you've also done a lot on like a whole completely other realm, Doughboys, you did the Explain series, which, is very, very different. But being a golf guy yourself, like, how was this one different for you being, like a golf junkie, like we call ourselves a little bit here?
Yeah.
How was this one different for you?
Well, it's funny because over the last year, it's like, we premiered we had two food shows come out on Hulu, including one that was like a survival cooking competition in the wilderness. We had Best in Dough, like you mentioned, our pizza competition show. We had Mind Over Murder, which is like on HBO, one of the coolest, most ambitious sort of true crime shows ever made. And we're so proud of that. We have Explained and a bunch of other things. And then, I get to do golf. It's been, at our studio, we really do a bunch of different kinds of shows and, for the most part, nonfiction, but this golf project has been near to my heart. It's sort of, ever since I got to Hollywood, it's been sort of my dream project. As we grew the studio, as I got more experience and we started to, get a little credibility, like, this project's always been top of mind for me. I've been a golfer my whole life. I grew up playing the game. I played competitively as a junior and then, went to college and got into media and then eventually into entertainment. And golf's like as you guys are all, like us, we're golf nerds. Like, it's just, I don't think I've ever had a day where I didn't think about golf in some capacity. Doesn't matter what I'm doing. It could be on set on the food show, whatever. I'm still thinking about golf. I'm the person who's standing in the hotel that you run into in New York City who's checking your backswing, like in the lobby or in the elevator. It's been a part of my life, since I can remember. And for me, like, to get a chance to take the sport that I feel like has given me so much, like the game of golf has really just has been such a big part of my life and given me so much, to be able to like give it back to that in some capacity. I always dreamed about working in golf in some way. And, obviously when I was a kid, I dreamed about being a player and playing on the PGA Tour and to be able to come out and sort of bring something new to this world it's a dream come true. And, the story of how the show came to be is it's a golf story at its heart. We came up with this idea playing golf in Las Vegas at Shadow Creek. It was my first time ever playing Shadow Creek. I was so excited to be there. And I was playing with some folks, Chris Wandell and the PGA Tour's media team. And, I'd been pitching them this idea like for many years. Every time I'd see him, I'd say, we should do like Hard Knocks for golf. We should just get inside the ropes of these guys and really tell their story. And, the answer was always like, yeah, that'd be cool. But, the timing's not right. And then we get to the first tee at Shadow and I could bring it back up again. I'm like, now's the time. This was before Drive to Survive had come out. So that wasn't a comp, but we're like, now's the time. And Jay Monahan just become commissioner. And Chris was like, yeah, I think it's the time. Let's do it. And by the end of that round, we had sort of sketched out what it could look like. And fast forward, 2 months later, I'm at the Players Championship and, we're finalizing the deal. And then a month later, I'm at the Masters meeting agents for the first time. And then, the middle of the pandemic, I'm on Zooms with Augusta National and Brooks Koepka. And, it was awesome. It's sort of the whole experience has been like kind of a pinch me moment. But the year that we had, the stories that we had, the players themselves, they're all so, I'm a fan, but like what we've made and what they gave us and the kind of stories that we have that we were blessed with this year. It's like, you could never watch have never seen a single golf shot and be thrilled and entertained by the show just because the lifestyle component of being a professional golfer these days, it's like, it's cool. They all have cool style and they hang out with cool friends and they have interesting stories and, they're all different in their own way, but they all have that same sort of like athlete mentality. And it's fun to see how they all kind of go about it differently. And then, just to be at you know, obviously the year we had with the LIV disruption happening in the middle of it. And then just like the finishes at the majors, like we just had like the superstars that won this year, and then Rory capping it off at the Tour Championship and the FedEx Cup. I mean, it's like, if I was trying to write the script when we were pitching this Netflix and this was like season one, they would have been like, there's no way that would happen. This is like, they like make it more realistic, you know? So yeah, we were really lucky, and it's been so much fun all year.
You know, Chad, the moment in anticipation of this conversation, I was thinking about your reaction when Liv just erupted. Do you remember where you were? Like, what were you doing? Were you like in an elevator? Were you at dinner? Like, what happened at that moment?
So it was interesting because there was like, if you remember, there was multiple kind of like breaking points of that story. I think the when we were at Genesis, it was like our third week out on tour. Like the first event we shot was Torrey Pines last year. That was the first time we brought the cameras out, and we really didn't know what we were doing yet. You know, we didn't know what kind of stories we were following. We had a general idea, but we were just like out here trying everything. I remember actually last night I was here at the hotel. I ran into the groundskeeping crew from Torrey Pines, and they're like, "You filmed with us last year." You know, and I'm like, oh yeah, I remember that. Cause we're like, well, let's go see how a golf course gets set up. So we like woke up at 4 a.m. and went out, and they stimped the greens. And like, I was like, guys, I got bad news for you. That didn't make it. You know, none of that stuff made it. But it was like, it was just, you know, we were learning. And then we went to the Waste Management, you know, WM Phoenix Open. And that was when it started to click, and we really had amazing access there. And that's such a great tournament to experience as a fan. And it's a great way into the series. And then I think it really started to get real at Genesis. So we're in LA, and that was early in the week. And all of a sudden you started to hear this like chatter. And I remember distinctly being in the media center at Riviera, which is in, you know, this beautiful classic clubhouse. And all of a sudden it's like people start whispering to each other. And there was like this, all this speculation. And that was also like, and then like an hour later, the Shipnut quote drops, and then the whole thing just explodes, you know? And it was, yeah, so that just being the buzz in the media center during Riviera week, that was when it really hit. And then, you know, after that, it was quiet for a month or two, and then, you know, started to drip back out around, you know, around the PGA Championship. And then, you know, kind of, I felt like really came to a head at the US Open. That was like the week when it all really like hit, and you had like everybody getting asked those questions, and DJ had already gone and Sergio had gone, and they're like all in the field, and Phil's there. And it was like a very strange vibe. And one of the most interesting things about the Liv stuff, you know, besides the kind of like obvious macro drama of it, was that like being out on the PGA Tour and getting to know these players and kind of getting inside their worlds, like it's like a traveling circus. There's like a real camaraderie that comes from being out here. All these players have like worked their whole lives to get here. There's sort of this like kismet feeling of like, hey, we're all good at this, and we've all like worked hard, and there's just a feeling of like pride of being out there. And there's like, I wouldn't say everyone's like best friends, but generally like people are pretty nice to each other, and there's like a camaraderie. You kind of see the same people week in and week out, you know, not just players, but like their caddies and the coaches. It's just kind of like a road show, you know. It's just the same thing, different town. And then but after the Liv split, that whole dynamic changed, you know, and all of a sudden there's like, you know, you're not just like buddy buddy, because there's like a fundamental disagreement about like the way things should move forward. And it changed the dynamic in the locker room like pretty considerably, and then out there on the course. And it was weird to see that in real time. And then also to kind of realize that we were like witnessing this like sports moment, not just a golf moment, but like nothing like this has really ever happened in any pro sport like this. Mm-hmm. And you could just feel it. Like it's just the energy changed, you know, kind of overnight. And you know, I hope and I think you'll really feel that in the show, you know, that the difference there, and all of a sudden starts going in two different directions. And then you also find, you know, you have golfers who aren't really known for being super outspoken, like now have really strong opinions, you know, in either direction. And you know, and you couldn't really avoid it. And we were, you know, we had like multiple people who we've been filming with all season who left to go to Liv, and we just kept filming, you know, because like what we had said to them from the beginning was like, if it's important to you, it's important to us. Our job is to tell your story and to, you know, good or bad, follow it where it goes. And if you're willing to let us keep going, we'll keep going with you. And that's like some of the most interesting stuff in the whole series.
The Golf Unfiltered podcast is brought to you by Mizuno Golf. We are proud to be partners with Mizuno Golf once again this season for 2023. They offer some of the best equipment that money could buy, and you already know the slogan. Nothing feels like a Mizuno, and I can testify to that firsthand. I'll be playing their equipment all season long, and I'll be bringing content to you not only on golfunfiltered.com, but also on all of our social media channels at Golf Unfiltered. Go visit MizunoGolf.com right now to find out everything you need to know about their entire line of golf clubs. That's what I was wondering now, if you, sorry, Nick, real quick. What I was wondering if something like that happens or when something like that happens as a producer, you just continue to go with the flow. Like nothing really kind of shifted. You just kind of mentioned, hey, keep it going.
Yeah. I mean, we're here to be flies on the wall. You know, that's the best version of this is like, it feels like the cameras aren't even there. And, you know, my favorite scenes from the show, like you don't feel like there's a camera in the room, you know, you would never know that we're there. And the players get comfortable, they get used to it. And all of a sudden it just kind of fades into the background and you get to be in these conversations and you're in these private moments with them, you know, and they're like hanging out with their buddies night before a final round of a major. And you're just like, this is what pro golfers do. Like it's really interesting. And for us, like, yeah, you know, when DJ and Brooks left and Ian left, like, you know, we just kept going because, you know, their story wasn't over. And our goal is to tell their story of this last season, the 2022 season. And we just kept filming with them. And, you know, I remember we talked to them. We're like, they're like, are you not coming anymore? And we're like, no, we'll be there tomorrow. Like, you know, like it's interesting. What's going on in your head right now? Like, tell us about it, you know? And then they did. And we got to see, and I think, you know, hopefully you'll see all of that disruption from an entire, you know, from the player perspective. I mean, really, you know, it's like you see what was going on in their heads and all the, everybody kind of has their own take on it too. And I think, you know, at the very least, like there's so much context because we spent so much time with these players that, you know, hopefully you'll see a full kind of portrait of what was going on in their minds and whether you agree with them or not, you know, that the show doesn't really take a side. It's just like presents it as it happens.
And what was that like from a storyteller's point of view, trying to tell that like PGA versus LIV story to a potential audience who isn't like as engulfed in that battle as like some of us may be, you know, like we lived on Twitter, we saw the feud every single day, but you know, there's going to be part of the audience who's watching this, you know, like we talked about on a few episodes, how like my father-in-law was like, I haven't seen Phil play in a while. And I'm like, okay, so, you know, what was it like as a storyteller trying to tell this feud in a way that made sense?
Yeah. I think that, you know, we are always kind of just trying to bring things back to like the basic simple stories, right? Like what are the motivations for the characters? Like it's no different if you're making a feature film or a show like this. Like ultimately you want viewers to relate to the characters. You may not be rooting for them, you know, you may be rooting against them, you may be rooting for them, but you want to relate to them. You want to understand their motivations. You want to kind of understand what the stakes are for them. And so for us, it just kept coming back to that. Like, what are the stakes here for you, Ian Poulter? You know, what are the stakes for you, Brooks Koepka? Like in your own words, like bring us into that, you know? And we weren't there to produce any scenes, you know, we're not making the Kardashians. Like we're not teeing up like conflict and, you know, pulling strings behind the scenes. But we're just there to kind of observe. And we, you know, the good thing about, I guess, LIV is like, it is pretty simple to explain to viewers, like, and, you know, in a short amount of time, in a little montage that there's this disruption in golf. And we've got a lot of, you know, material that we use from news footage and things like that about, you know, this big disruption and what's happening. And you go from like the wraparound, like we do an explained a lot, actually, where it's like, you know, global disruption, Saudi league, blah, 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 jumping CNN, MSNBC, you know, Fox News, blah, blah, blah. And then you land in a player who just made that choice. And now you're just in their living room and you're like, they're looking at their new life from that moment going forward. Like, what's that like? You know? And so you get to give it that context and try to make it relatable to normal people, not just diehard golf fans. And I think that the stakes are pretty clear. You know, it's like, is it money or is it legacy? Is it time with your family or is it competitive? Like, you know, living, like going to, you know, compete and for, you know, titles and be defining yourself like against, you know, a standard that Tiger Woods set, like, what is it that you want out of this thing? You know, and that becomes like very clear, the more time we spent with the players that, you know, they had really vastly different ideas of what was important to them and what they saw as like driving them.
Definitely. Do you think that people will like change their opinions on some players maybe like after watching this?
That's never our goal.
Without giving like, anything away.
Yeah. I think so. Yeah, I definitely think so. I think it, you know, if you have strong opinions about some of the people in our cast, I think you're going to have stronger opinions. And I do think that, you know, there's one player in particular that I think people will see in a totally different light based on this, you know, based on the show. And but whether or not that makes you a fan of them, I don't know. But, you know, and that player is Brooks Koepka. And I think that if you know, I think that Brooks is the Brooks story and what we were able to get with him and sort of how open he was with us, at the very least, it makes his narrative more complex. And like when you get into the lives of any person, right? You could be you or me or a professional athlete or, you know, a multimillionaire, whatever. It doesn't matter. It's like things are never what they seem on the surface. And getting to spend that much time with somebody, you just see a fuller picture of it. Now, like, will it change your mind about what you think about Brooks Koepka? Like, that's never been our goal. And we're not doing PR for these guys. So it's not like we're sugarcoating any of it. But I think it at least gives you a different perspective on what was going on and, you know, sort of what they're going through. Again, I'm not trying to make you empathize with him. I'm not saying that he made the right choice and he's a hero by any stretch, but I think you will get a different look than what you saw just from reading Twitter and just following it.
And here I thought you were going to say Jordan Spieth playing cards against JT for $1,000 a hand or whatever they were doing.
That too. That was pretty cool. But you know, it's like that stuff's just fun.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and you know, in reference to the GQ article that of course came out recently where that little snippet was part of it, you know, it's interesting because when we talk about or when we anticipate these docuseries that are coming out, we always want to know, all right, are my beliefs going to be justified? And Nikki, your question is great because, all right, well, will my opinion change? Will it not? I guess a question for you, Chad, even being the unbiased filmmaker that you are, did your opinion change in any way? You've been a lifelong golf fan.
Yeah. Well, I think it definitely, yeah, it did. I think like, first off, I just, even though I'd been around pro golf and I played with a lot of great players, I just how unbelievably good these guys are is just every time you're out there, it's striking. The how much they work and how much you have to be obsessed and how much you have to love golf to do this for a living. You know, the grind of it is really, really real. And just like life on the road is tough. And like just even the exhaustion for me and my team, like just chasing them around the world was exhausting. And like half of our crew, it's just we were constantly like, talking about how hard it was to be away from home for so long and like the hours and the jet lag and like and getting into a routine on the road. And just imagine like this is their life for a decade plus playing pro golf is mind-boggling to me. You know, the amount of like physicality that it takes, the toll it takes on your body, like how much they have to work out and eat right and the training and like, you know, people, you see that stuff and like, oh, here's so-and-so's fitness regimen, but like, they're serious about that stuff. And it's like, you know, there's a lot of shots in the gym actually in the series because, you know, like it's just like such a, it's a meeting point. It's where everybody is together. I think, you know, like I said, Brooks's storyline of all of the players that we got to know, you know, really surprised me because of who he had sort of established as his brand or whatever the person that he had created for the media in his own mind just didn't match the person that we were filming with, you know, and it was like fascinating to see. And, you know, and then obviously like JT and Jordan are like, they're awesome. They're both so cool. I mean, I can't imagine a cooler group of people to hang out with than JT and Jordan Spieth, you know, they're awesome. You know, Tony Finau, like just the will that he has to just keep fighting is just like crazy to see, you know, when you have all this drive. I have three kids, you know, he's got a lot more than me, and just to see what he's living through like every day to sort of balance that family responsibility and then, you know, being a competitor and that sort of will and drive that takes. And, you know, I think a guy like Matt Fitzpatrick also, you know, I was a casual Matt Fitzpatrick fan, but you know, now I'm like, I'm going to get a Matt Fitzpatrick tattoo, you know, after this season, because he's like, you know, he is awesome. And just not who, again, another person who, if, you know, when we got sort of, he got brought up for the show, we were like, well, it's like, I don't know, that interesting, you know, it's like, seems like a nice guy, like, you know, good player, but you get into his head a little bit and you're like, what a genius, you know, like how funny is he? He's got an amazing sense of humor. And, you know, and then obviously like a great champion this year at the US Open. And like that, I think is maybe my favorite episode, just not to give things away. But I mean, you know how it ends, obviously, but like how he got there is so cool. And like, yeah, Fitzy is another one where I'm just like, man, I'm diehard, ride for Fitz forever now.
Nice.
Well, now speaking of that, is there a particular player, like after watching the way a tournament ended, is there a particular player that you were like, man, I really wish, you know, like seeing how he finished that tournament or seeing how he came back. Like, I really wish we had more footage of that guy, you know?
Yeah. Well, there's always like a, you know, a wish list, right? You know, we were in a lot of those rooms for a lot of those big wins. You know, I think, you know, it would have been interesting to see Cameron Smith's perspective, like from inside of Cameron Smith, you know, and we worked all year to try to make that happen. And, you know, as soon as the live stuff started to heat up, and that, you know, they kind of went quiet on us, but you know, he had an amazing season, and like that showdown with Rory and Cam Young at the end of the Open Championship was just like so thrilling to be there. And the energy shift when, you know, when he won, I mean, the whole town, you could feel it was like a shimmer or a shake went through the whole town. Like everybody just, it was weird. It was a strange vibe because, you know, that entire country is like pulling for Rory, and just to be able to see, you know, we were with him actually that night. We actually shot with him in the locker room, like drinking Aussie beers out of the claret jug, you know, but it was interesting because there was like an expectation of a coronation for Rory McIlroy. And then, you know, it's like, not. And so just even in that room with his friends, you're like, you could see there was like, everybody was like, oh my God, are we even supposed to be here? Like, this is crazy. So, but yeah, no, it was, yeah, I think like that would be the one that I was like, you know, I wish we'd have had more, access to him, but you know, we have everybody else. So.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you mentioned earlier something about, you know, being on the phone with Augusta and talking to them, and in the GQ article too, you mentioned that talking about how Augusta is getting more progressive. And I think was it this year? Was it the year before? I think it was this year. They did the Dude Perfect. They got Dude Perfect out there playing and Bryson playing on Amen Corner. You know, and that ruffled a few feathers. Some people were like, this is sacred ground. You know, you can't do that. But you know, I think people would be surprised to see the fact that, you know, you guys got access. Some people were surprised to see Dude Perfect got out there. You know, is there more stuff like that that we're going to see that we would be surprised from Augusta?
Well, I wish I knew.
A secret?
Well, I mean, the secret to me, but, you know, certainly for us, you know, working with Augusta was great. They really understood what we were trying to do from the beginning, and it didn't require like a hard sell to them. Like when the first conversation first came up about doing something like this, they, you know, it was more just about like the details and how it would work. It was never like, should we do it or not? And I give them a lot of credit for, you know, sort of understanding that like people are consuming sports and stories and their stories in different ways than ever before. And that this was like an important platform to, you know, tell the story of that tournament. And, you know, I think the big distinction with them was, you know, we sort of sat down with them early and we said, look, our goal is not to make a documentary about the Masters. Like you could do that. You know, we're not here to tell the history of the tournament. We're obviously here to respect the traditions and kind of like bring you inside the rooms there in a real way. But we said, you know, our goal from the beginning was not to just show you a history of the Masters, but to make you understand what it feels like to compete in the Masters. Like it was always going to have a player perspective. And so when we showed up at Augusta and walked through those gates, it was like, it was from the eyes of Tony Finau or through the eyes of Brooks Koepka, through the eyes of Colin Morikawa, these competitors. So it was like, what's it like to go show up there at Augusta, Georgia in April and walk through those gates and, you know, compete in like this championship that like, you know, every golfer's dreamed about, you know, their entire life. And I think that really comes across, you know, and they were amazing partners. They really were supportive and, you know, it was the most terrifying week of my life just being there, like, just like me, but they were awesome. So it was great. And, you know, obviously Scotty had an incredible finish. And the other thing that really stood out for me, one of my favorite sort of moments from the year was like walking around with Scotty's agent, and one of the, a member of the golf media on Saturday, I believe we were following him and it, you know, he was like on the end of the front nine or you know, and, I guess what they call it, the first nine, it's like this first nine and second nine at Augusta. Yeah. So he's on the end of the first nine and we're like, there's like 35 people following him and I think he was leading the tournament by a couple shots. And we're like, it's like us and like, there's like 10 other people walking, following Scottie Scheffler. And he's just dissecting this golf course and just playing brilliant golf. And we're like looking around, we're like, where is everybody? And you look down the hill, we're on like the ninth hole on the tee box up there. And you're kind of a high point of the course. You kind of like get a visibility. And there was like a sea of people down in Amen Corner and roaring. And you were just like, oh, that's Tiger, you know? And just like the immediate impact that Tiger Woods had showing up at a tournament, like that was really striking because we had shot a lot of PGA Tour events sort of leading up to that, but that was the first one where he was playing. And it was like the whole vibe changed immediately. Like the hierarchy shifted and it was like Tiger's here, you know? And that was like, you could feel it. It was crazy. And I'd been to, you know, I've been to a bunch of golf tournaments. I've seen Tiger play before at majors and stuff like that, but it was because he hadn't played yet, you know, to get that through our camera lens and all of a sudden you just feel the Tiger effect was really cool.
Nice. Very That's nice. Awesome. Well, once again, listeners,
I know a lot of people are going to be excited about that.
Oh yeah, for sure. I know I am 100%. And once again, listeners, we're talking to Chad Mumm, executive producer of the upcoming Full Swing docuseries on Netflix, detailing all sorts of fun things regarding the PGA Tour, LIV Tour, and all everything in between, it seems like. Real quick for you, Chad, it seems like when the teaser trailer came out, a lot of people were just jaws dropped that you got Rory. Like, I for some reason, I thought, I kind of expected Rory. What was your reaction to that?
Well, that was like the crowning achievement of a year where years were the work okay. on Rory. But no, you know, he Rory is just as amazing a player as he is, and as such a generational player, he is just that his equal as like a person, as just like a great guy and a thoughtful, smart, brilliant, you know, just human being. So getting him to agree to, you know, sort of come into the show at sort of the 11th hour was amazing. And, you know, that story's told, you know, was told a little bit sort of the GQ piece, but you know, we had talked to his team all season about him coming into the show. And, you know, there was sort of this feeling that like he had a lot going on in his life and was wanting to focus on his game and, you know, but that if like he won a major, he would be in. And we were like, okay, well, we'll just wait around. And he got so close at every, you know, at every major, he was like in contention in the real way. So we were like, okay, maybe it's now. But then at the end of the season, you know, after the Open Championship, you know, and him and Tiger sort of taking the mantle of the PGA Tour and really like being advocates for the players and really pushing the game towards the future, that, you know, it became a moment where we kind of said to him that, like, you know, we may never get another chance to say, to, you know, to sort of have this kind of platform and to tell the story of this moment right now. And it would be great to have you in it, you know, and to his credit, he was like, yeah, okay, I'm in. And then like from that second, it was like, the most access, you know, he was incredible. He just opened himself up and, you know, sort of brought us into his world. And it was super cool. So yeah, that was fun. It was fun to get, to have a little surprise to give away, in the teaser. Nobody had known that he was in, and it was fun to be able to, like, you know, have that big final coup de grace.
It was awesome. It was absolutely awesome. And this was awesome too, sir. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule. And folks, by the way, those were not fighter jets that were going by. Those were golf carts. He is on location at Torrey Pines. Nick, you got anything else for Chad before we let him go?
No, I think we did put out one question on our Instagram stories when the trailer dropped. We said, you know, what other sports would you want to see a potential, you know, Netflix documentary, docuseries on? I'd love to just kind of get your reaction on some of these. One person said professional bull riding would be a potential interesting one. Gymnastics, I'm not sure if that meant more like Olympic gymnastics, collegiate gymnastics, maybe both. Surfing was one.
Exists. Curling. You can watch that on Apple TV, yeah. By the way.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they're onto something.
Yeah. And curling. Curling, well, curling. Was another one. Yes.
Curling would be great because if you could make that interesting, and like, I don't know anything about curling, I think that would be amazing to see. I mean, I can't even imagine the drama in curling. But no, I think if I had to pick one of those, I think gymnastics would be the one I would pick just because, you know, the golf is, it's been really cool. Golf is such an individual sport. So, you know, we've now sort of been embedded in this world. And so we really, like, I think we've done a really good job at sort of telling these individual stories and building a universe around these cast of characters that are, you know, in this traveling circus. And I would imagine gymnastics might have similar stakes and just, you know, and they're flying through the air, which is also always really cool. So yeah, I would vote for gymnastics. Maybe that'll be
a
nice
as
project.
A former, yeah, as a former competitive gymnast myself, I would definitely appreciate that.
Awesome.
Excellent. Well, Chad, thanks so much for taking some time out of your busy schedule. We got a ton of fans anticipating this. We're going to be watching it. And you know what? I just appreciate that you're a golf Twitter sicko like us. We'll see you out on golf.
Perfect.
Thanks so
we'll
much,
see you
sir.
Out there.
All righty.
Thanks, y'all.